It's The Record from KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman. Have you ever heard of deep brain stimulation? Well, it's the latest technique for treating things like Parkinson's, depression, anorexia, and Alzheimer's disease. Andres Lozano is the chair of neurosurgery at the University of Toronto. Lozano has pioneered the use of the technique. It involves drilling holes into a patient's head, then inserting electrodes into the brain to deliver electricity. He explained it to David Hyde.
So what exactly is deep brain stimulation?
Deep brain stimulation is a way to adjust the activity of brain circuits that are malfunctioning. And so we know now that when you have a neurologic problem like Parkinson's disease or Alzheimer's or a psychiatric problem like depression, that this is related to circuits in the brain that are misfiring. So one can introduce electrodes within these circuits to adjust their activity. One can turn the circuits either up or down, very much as you would adjust the volume on your radio. And in so doing, we can regulate and normalize the activity of the circuits and try to restore normal function.
How does it work? Give us an example of how this works.
Well, an example would be someone with Parkinson's disease who has tremor, for example. And we know now that this is caused by cells in the brain that are firing at the rate of tremor and causing tremor. So if we succeed in pinpointing where these cells are, we can place electrical current in their midst, and we can use the electricity to calm them down so that they stop firing and causing tremor. And this works instantly. As soon as we turn it on, the cells stop firing, the tremor goes away. As soon as the electricity stops, the stimulation stops, the cells go back to their bad behaviors and the tremor reoccurs. And this is why people need to have these devices on 24 hours a day.
How do you do it physically? How does it work?
It involves an operation often under local anesthesia because we like to have the patient help us find the right spot. It involves drilling holes in the head and placing electrodes. These electrodes are roughly the size of a strand of spaghetti. And we place these electrodes to target, and you have to be within 1 millimeter. An error of 1 millimeter can mean the difference between having a side effect or this not working at all. So you have to be extremely precise in putting the electrode just in the right place, just in the place where these neurons are misbehaving. And then you hook up these electrodes to a pacemaker, and it's very much like a heart pacemaker, except here we're delivering current to the brain, not to the heart, and we're able to regulate how much current is delivered so that we deliver just the right amount that is sufficient to help the patients and not cause side effects.
So let's say you were drilling holes in my head right now with this technique, and I'm helping you as a patient. I'm under light anesthesia. How do I help you?
Well, when we place the electrodes in the brain, we turn them on, and you tell us what you feel when we turn on the electricity. And we're looking for a very specific thing. So in the case of someone with tremor, we're looking for a spot where we can turn it on and make the tremor go away. If we turned it on and you got, for example, tingling in your arm or leg, or if you got a contraction of your hand, that would tell us that we're in the wrong place. That would tell us that we'd have to move. In some cases, we have to move by 1 millimeter. And so it's very useful to have the patients awake because they verify what part of the brain we're in, and they tell us whether they're in the right place or not.
I got to say, hearing you talk about being awake on the table while you're drilling into their head, just it doesn't sound that pleasant to me. And I'm thinking to myself, what are the dangers? What are the dangers of deep brain stimulation?
So, well, you know, it's an operation on the brain. So I think that's important. But having said that, it's extremely safe. It's probably the same risk of having any other, you know, major operation. So it's about one, we tell our patients there's a 1% risk of something seriously bad happening, like having a stroke or even dying. But other than that, once you put the electrodes in, we can turn it on and you can get side effects from the electricity. But the good thing about that is that we can adjust it. We can turn it down or even off. And so we can avoid side effects from the stimulation and we can tune the electricity so that we get the benefits without getting side effects. And indeed, this technique has now been used in over 100,000 patients throughout the world. And the record of safety is quite remarkable.
You mentioned Parkinson's. What's the range of things that you can treat?
Well, Parkinson's was the first thing out of the gate, the first thing that got approved. And after there was tremor as an essential tremor, and now we have, for example, indications to treat dystonia, which is a disorder where the body twists in an uncontrollable manner. We also have permission, humanitarian device exemption, to treat obsessive-compulsive disorder. So we started out with movement disorders like Parkinson's disease and tremor, and now we're moving into the realm of psychiatry to treat the circuits in the brain that are causing psychiatric symptoms. And we think that we'll be able to treat things like depression and Tourette's and obsessive-compulsive disorder.
Andres Lozano is chair of neurosurgery at the University of Toronto and an expert on deep brain stimulation. And we have someone in the studio here who received this treatment in Seattle at Swedish Hospital. His name is Ian Curtis. Ian, thank you so much for being here.
Sure, no problem.
So you had dystonia. What is dystonia?
Dystonia is a really rare neurological condition that deals with movement disorder. It's similar to Parkinson's, but Parkinson's is more of a repetitive jerky motion. Dystonia, it causes the muscles to fight against each other, so it's more of a twisting kind of. So you lose a lot of dexterity, and there are a lot of different types of dystonia. Some people can go along walking just fine. Some types of dystonia are responsible to medication. To Sinemet. Mine, unfortunately, wasn't.
Hmm. So how long did you have it? What was it like?
I was diagnosed at age 9. It took about a year for me to be in a wheelchair. So it and it took a while for them to diagnose, too, because back then, that was 17 years ago.
Hmm. So. And then you had deep brain stimulation at Swedish. When did you get treated?
I'd first heard about DBS 10 years ago, but it I was a little wary about it back then because it is brain surgery.
Yeah.
They're really good at that, at Swedish. I mean, their percentage of risk is like 0.5% lower than nationwide.
Hmm.
And the surgery they did, it was actually fairly mild compared to what I've been through. So back in 2001, I had a spinal fusion. So I've got a 3-foot scar down my back.
Wow.
So the surgery was fairly mild.
What was it like? Can you tell us about it?
I was out. They did two surgeries, actually. The first one was the actual brain surgery where they implanted the leads. And I think I was out for only 4 to 6 hours. And I stayed overnight, but I went home the next day purely for observation purposes to make sure they didn't, put in the wrong place.
So you were completely out. You were under anesthesia?
Sometimes they do it when the patient's awake, but in my case, I was, dystonia can be a little. So they wanted me to be perfectly still while they were doing the surgery.
And what's been the difference?
Yeah, over the next 5 months, they were adjusting it because there's 4 different contact points on each lead, so you can do all sorts of different adjustments for different areas of the brain. But, over the next 5 months, it just got progressively better and better, and by the time December rolled around, I was out of my wheelchair and walking.
Wow. So how has this changed your life?
It's amazing. I mean, I'm taking walks around the farm. I'm going to live on a 5-acre farm. And I'm exercising now. I got a recumbent bike, so I go on that a couple times a week. I'm working on getting my driver's license, it's going to be pretty cool. But yeah, it's awesome. It still feels weird, though, walking around. I mean, I'm used to having trouble just sitting down and being comfortable in a chair. Even getting out of bed, laying down, being able to relax without having to fight and concentrate and try to fall asleep. I can just relax and
Ian Curtis, treated at Swedish Hospital here in Seattle for dystonia. And we're also talking to Andres Lozano. He's chair of neurosurgery at the University of Toronto and a master of the deep brain stimulation techniques and a researcher. What can you tell us about this case, about Ian's case?
Well, it used to be that children like Ian sometimes didn't live because they would twist up and they would have infections, they would get sores, they would get, pneumonia and so on. And so it used to be that before DBS was instituted that some children would die. And this has been really, I think, a modern miracle of medicine and science, the fact that you can, the brain in people with dystonia can be perfectly normal, but it's sending wrong signals to the muscles, telling the muscles to twist and to contort. And this is why they get skeletal deformities. Often they need orthopedic surgery, but it's really a disorder of the brain where the neurons are sending the wrong signals to the muscles. And so with DBS, we're able to go to these areas that are generating these signals, and we're able to turn them down or turn them off. And in so doing, the brain can work in a more normal fashion. And patients that were completely curled up now open up and can, in some cases, walk for the first time in years. And so it's truly a very striking, I think one of the most exciting aspects of DBS is really to restore function to children with dystonia.
Wow. Hearing you talk about this makes me feel like we're living in the future of medicine. This is some kind of a Star Trek movie, and yet it's happening right now. This stuff is actually possible now. How close to Star Trek is this?
What is science fiction today is reality tomorrow. I think that we could only imagine that this could have been done, 30 or 40 years ago, but now this is a reality. We now understand where in the brain these trouble areas are. We can pinpoint them. We can apply electrodes to these areas. We can change their function, and we can restore normal function in the brain, and in turn, we can restore normal function in the body, as is the case in dystonia. And the same is true in Parkinson's, and perhaps now the challenge is to look at whether this technique could also be used to treat other disorders, for example, disorders in the psychiatric realm, like depression, like anorexia, like Tourette's, like OCD.
Andres Lozano is chair of neurosurgery at the University of Toronto. Ian Curtis is a patient who's received deep brain stimulation as treatment for a condition called dystonia. They both spoke with David Hyde here on The Record.